I want to believe.
Tonight I've got Calvin Hebert.
What's up? That was a weird intro.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Ali Hebert.
Is this real?
Is this just fantasy? Lindsay Wolfgang.
Caught I feel like this is a bad SNL ripoff.
And I'm your host, Shannon Young. Tonight we're going to be talking about aliens and probably have something in that
back group. Okay, all right. All right, let's end that right where it was.
God, I really did choke on a peanut there. Oh, I said peanut.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
They can't see me in my soundproof booth. No, that has nothing to do with visuals. Turns out a soundproof booth does not keep people from seeing you.
Wow.
How embarrassing for me. It is I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. That's not a joke. We do have Calvin, Ali, and Lindsay with us tonight. And returning to the show after a hiatus, Tanner Calvert, the Big T,
what
Sweet
up?
T.
What up? Oh, Sweet T.
Black T.
Oh, Earl Grey.
Earl Grey T?
Yeah.
That should be your nickname now, Earl Grey.
Not I'm good. I'm so good now.
So, for those of you guys listening, Tanner's new nickname.
No.
Earl Grey.
You know what? That's better than some other names I've had. I'll take it.
It's better than some of the names Dalton has currently.
You mean Dalton?
Yeah.
Oh.
So here's the thing about tonight, kids. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Today was the first day of back to school or out of school, summer school, whatever. Summer school's
school
out for
is
the
out
summer,
and we don't like it.
Beyond back to school.
Yeah, and it was extremely busy today here at the old game shop, and unfortunately, I did not get to make a lot of notes for tonight. So I really only have one story, but there are some couple other things we could talk about, and let's start off by talking about those things. And I again want to apologize for the next hour that you're going to be listening to. We'll try to salvage it as best we can, but do not. Depending on how the show goes, if this is your first trip down the dark path with us, I would like to sincerely apologize. If this is the show you plan on sharing with your friends and get them into it, I ask that you don't. Please
pick a different show.
Instead, share the most recent Hype Train episode, which you can find a couple of weeks back here on the Podzilla 1985 Network.
Yeah.
Nothing scarier.
You throwing the train under the bus?
Then that kind of hype. No, it's a good show.
I feel like that's dangerous.
It's a good show. Highly rated show. Better than this show, that's for sure. At least tonight it is. So let's start off with some sad news. Tanner, something that we wanted to talk about and we didn't get to talk about before. So now's as good a time to talk about it as any. In the month since we did our last show, there have been at least... Is there somebody at the door?
No, it was a bike.
Okay. Damn it. Messed up my concentration. There have been at least 4 deaths that have affected the paranormal community, and 4 very important deaths. So let's start off with, I think, probably the one that's the least impactful. I know that sounds bad. I don't mean it that way, but he didn't really have anything to do with the paranormal world, but he is a hero to science fiction and everything. Peter Mayhew passed away. Peter Mayhew, remember from, wow, remember. It's a bad night. Chewbacca.
Chewbacca.
Don't make me make fun of the guy's name.
I'm not.
He played the Chewbacca in all of the old Star Wars films. You know who was originally going to play Han Solo?
He played them in all of the Star Wars.
He didn't play them in the newer ones.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he did. He did a few scenes.
I'm sure he didn't play it at least in the newest one because I remember it being a thing about it was like the first one where he didn't do it. And plus, they had CG Wookiee mouth eventually. And I don't know if I was ever going to use the term CG Wookiee mouth on the air.
I like that you made the little flappy hand motion at the same time.
CG Wookiee mouth is one of my least favorite mouths. I'm just going to be honest with you. It bothered me. Tanner, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
If you can remember at this point.
Yeah, you lost me now.
You distracted him with CG Wookiee mouth.
CG Wookiee mouth, which sounds like the newest album from Earl Grey. Earl Grey presents CG Wookiee mouth. Live on the Hype Train Records.
You know,
label.
That works out really well, though. That sounds like something that's probably happening, and we just don't know about it.
There's a parallel universe somewhere. Where
and
that's
it's happening
like,
now.
Yeah.
There's a parallel universe somewhere where Peter Mayhew is doing a podcast talking about me dying. It's weird. It's the weirdest universe, and I don't like it. You know who was going to play Han Solo originally, or at least one of the people?
Patrick Swayze.
Nick Nolte, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I've actually got to see
God
Patrick Swayze's...
God damn it, Chewbacca.
No, it wasn't Patrick Swayze. Who was it? It was... Kurt Russell was going to play him. I've got to watch Kurt Russell's audition tape for Han Solo.
I think Kurt Russell would have made a fantastic Han Solo. Yeah. But I mean, Harrison Ford is Han Solo, or at least he was, until you killed him.
Are you because I look like Kylo? Because
you look like Kylo.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you even talking about you like that?
Have we ever showed Calvin the Adam Driver SNL skit?
The bosses, undercover bosses?
No.
Oh, that's a good one,
that's
too.
That's a good one, but the one where he comes to like career day and he's an
he's talking about H.R. Pickens.
Baron.
He's an oil baron.
Crush your enemies!
If you want to know what you're going to look like in 30 years.
Why is that actor?
So when he's like 50, he's going to look like an 80-year-old oil baron. Is what you're telling Calvin right now.
You're getting insulted a whole lot.
I mean, it's Allie. I don't care.
He's insulted me much more in my life.
He's the big brother. His job.
Well, technically, it's been about the same. It's just, you know, it's been all of your life. I've had 4 years of not being insulted.
And they were the best years of his life.
To be fair, I wasn't insulting you as an infant.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I probably was. Actually, you were my favorite person whenever I was little, so
that
no,
means
I
nothing.
Yeah.
Keywords, when she was little.
Mm-hmm. When you were young.
Okay, so person number two.
Then we get to the actual heavy hitters. Now, this was the one that passed away. She passed away 2 days after our last episode, which was really unfortunate for us because this is one that definitely hits hard in the paranormal community, and that's Lorraine Warren of the famous N. Lorraine Warren investigators. They have done some of the most influential research and investigations in the history of the paranormal community, including the Amityville Horror.
Let's say if you can think of any,
I call it the Amityville. So it's not fair to call it the Amityville Horror. That was the name of the movie. Yeah, it was just the Amityville House. The house is not called the Amityville Horror. It's not like a ship where you go. So where are you living now? I'm living in the Amityville Horror.
Right now,
and who would buy that if it was called the Amityville
Horror?
You would. Well, yeah, because we have brain sicknesses.
Yeah. So if you go look up any movie made
James
in the
Wan,
last 40 years,
James Wan's entire movie history, I'm pretty sure, is based around the Warrens.
Like anything that's paranormal is based on true events, quote unquote. They were probably involved in.
Yeah,
I mean, so much so to the point that they were actually in the Conjuring.
Yeah, well, that's because it's based on them. Based on them. It is them. Man, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Yeah, so I'm saying James Wan, entire film, like, filmography is from them. Amityville, they did Annabelle. They have the Annabelle. Well, they had. What happens to all that stuff now? The famous Warren Museum.
They had somebody who was a caretaker of it. I think it was somebody either in the family or just a close friend. And from what I've heard, he's going to keep it open and keep it operating. As of right now, as far as I know, Annabelle is still in the case.
Do you think he believes in it?
I don't know.
Because like I would love to see the Warren Museum, which is, where is that at anyway? I'm assuming it's in Rhode Island. I don't know why. I just assume everything that's evil is in Rhode Island or like Chaffee.
That is a large distance difference.
Uh-huh. No, but it's like the, what are they called? The ley lines?
Mm-hmm.
That's
the ley lines.
Where the evil ley lines.
Yes, it's in Connecticut. Hmm. 30 Knollwood, St. Monroe, Connecticut.
I smell a road trip in our future.
I would love to go there.
Future, but future.
I would it's on my list of places I would love to go in that and in like I'd love to go to Key West, Florida and see Robert the Doll.
Yeah.
Although like Lindsay's shaking her head no currently. But I could talk her into it.
I mean,
and I would
Annabelle's
tell,
it.
You have enough bad luck.
I would tell her I would give her a camera and I go walk by Robert the Doll and be like, get a picture of me. And
then
Calvin, have you ever heard about Robert the Doll? You were staring so intensely at her water.
Yeah, well, I'm watching the straw do weird things in the reflection.
It's, yeah. Every time the table moves, the straw moves.
Have you ever heard of Robert the Doll?
Not off the top of my head.
And then this is completely off topic because I don't think they've ever investigated Robert the Doll, but it's a story about a boy who got a doll for a gift and he became attached to it and said it was alive. And it's got a whole haunted history. The big thing is it's now in Key West, Florida, behind glass. And behind that glass are postcards and letters written to the doll apologizing for people that had come and like made fun of it and then had horrible luck because it said that if you disrespect the doll, you're cursed. It's a very cool story. So you're not supposed to take pictures of it unless you get consent. And just like men in America, they don't know. I don't understand how that consent works. Because how does the doll say yes? Is it a feeling? Is it like at Outback, maybe you get a little buzzer, and when it's your time to take a picture, the buzzer goes off. Jesus. Back to Ed and Lorraine Warren.
I'm concerned for your sanity, but
you're just
we're always concerned for his sanity.
I was borderline for a while, and then I crossed the border. So no, Lorraine Warren. I don't even know where we're going with this. So one of my things I hate most about those damn Conjuring movies, since we're talking about Lorraine Warren, and I think we've mentioned it on the show before, it's going to be a very relaxed show tonight, by the way, folks. So buckle in. You're getting a taste of Tanner Thursday mixed in. Ooh. With it's called I Want to Believe in Tanner Thursday is what we're going to call this. Tanner Tuesday. I Want to Believe in Tanner Tuesday.
That doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
But it's alliteration.
Well, Tanner's illiterate.
Those are different words.
Wow. You're lucky there's a person between the two of us.
I know.
I'm a very small person.
So in the Conjuring movie, they've had Annabelle. Annabelle was in one of them. And then she got two of her own movies with a third one coming out soon called Annabelle Comes Home.
I haven't seen any of
them. I didn't know Annabelle went and studied abroad.
On vacation?
Yeah. Annabelle took a trip. It's like the Ernest movies. Annabelle goes
Annabelle is going to have a cameo in the new Spider-Man movie.
No.
Far From Home.
Well, I almost spit my soda out. Thank you.
So my problem with it is if you've ever heard of the Annabelle doll, Tanner, what kind of a doll is it?
It's really a Raggedy Ann.
It's a Raggedy Ann.
Just it's a not movie a made in a porcelain doll. Yeah.
And
it's
really creepy porcelain
doll. Yes, no, the ugliest porcelain doll I've ever seen. What child? Have you ever seen the doll from the movie?
Yes.
What child would want that? Who would cuddle that?
Me personally, I think the Raggedy Ann is
creepier.
It's
like cuddling a girl from Chaffee.
You and Chaffee tonight.
It's pretty much
every
this
night.
Show.
Yeah.
Is what he.
Anytime I come on, Chaffee's mentioned. Wait a minute.
Don't worry. He's mentioned it without you here.
Oh, okay, good.
Plenty.
It's true. Yeah. It's war.
War
is coming. It's just that, I get there. I don't know if it's an artistic thing where they wanted to make the doll scarier because they thought.
Probably.
Or is it a legal thing? Because, Lindsay, do they still make Raggedy Ann's?
Raggedy Ann probably still has a copyright.
Right, so they probably don't want their actual doll associated with a demonic presence.
The man that created the Raggedy Ann doll is from Indiana. I'm pretty sure they actually have a museum.
So then he probably literally believes in the demon too. So yeah, he doesn't want that.
There's also some kind of weird stuff with, because I'm pretty sure the guy that created the Raggedy Ann doll, either his daughter died really young, or got really sick around the time that the doll was created.
But I say, if I read the story right, I think the doll was made for her.
It was. Or
was made after her.
After her.
On her image.
Yeah.
Lindsay, did you ever have a Raggedy Ann?
Yes.
Allie?
And Andy.
No one even cares about Andy. Andy got lost in the shuffle.
My daughter has a Raggedy Ann doll.
Ooh.
It stays in the closet.
Just like Raggedy Andy.
My house. There's a lot of weird stuff happening in my house. I just caught what he said. Wow.
I'm on fire tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
What I lack in material, I make up for in moxie.
Oh, wow.
So
is that the word you choose?
Mad moxie too. I don't believe all Raggedy Ann's are haunted, but if you had a literal Raggedy Ann in a movie, you could see how some people would go, I don't want that association. I don't want a Raggedy Ann because it's scary.
See, porcelain dolls already have that connotation to them.
Yeah, they do. It feels more antique.
Yeah, they scare the hell out of me, porcelain dolls.
They probably don't have a copyright.
On a porcelain doll?
Yeah.
Raggedy Ann's almost a brand.
Yeah.
I still think, though, that there's no one in their right mind that would pick that doll's look for a child. Unless
my
mother-in-law. Hate your child.
Whenever,
well, your mother-in-law hates you.
I think whenever porcelain dolls first came out, they were all pretty creepy.
What's that?
Yeah.
When porcelain dolls first came, we would all be like, that is a really creepy looking doll.
To be fair, most dolls I think are creepy. Probably the scariest place that I could think of, not a super haunted place, because this place is also haunted, but you know what I'm talking about, the
Island
of the
Dolls.
The Island of the Dolls would scare me just because all of those dolls staring at you, and they're not like cute dolls. Some of them are
Scooby-Doosh.
Very disturbing. Hey, I'm with them on that 100%.
Zach Bagans does not like dolls or clowns.
Yeah, clowns I never understood the hate for. Clowns don't scare me. They don't. I don't find them funny. I don't find them – I just find them sad.
Weren't we going to go on a clown hunt at one point in time?
So
they talked me out of it.
apparently
that was going to be the big I want to
the Raggedy Ann history is fabricated by the creator.
Was so the person that created Raggedy Ann made up everything about Raggedy Ann?
The closest thing on here is that it had been a doll that his mom had made for his sister and they had in the attic and he just kind of fished it out when he had a kid.
Oh.
And but yeah, one of the first things on it is that a lot of the legends of Raggedy Ann were made up by the creator out of humor more than anything.
Douche.
Except the Annabelle thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure but he had nothing to do with that.
That's not but the only thing that they have in the Warren Museum, by the way. There's all kinds of things. Haunted objects.
It's a whole museum. It's great.
So if you really believe in that stuff, I really wonder, like, what's going to happen to all that stuff? Eventually, they're probably going to sell it off. I'd put it maybe in a real museum.
You're going to snipe eBay?
I mean, there was actually a story I thought about putting on here that I didn't, and I was reading about haunted sellers. People that put quote-unquote haunted items up for sale on eBay, and apparently the cheapest ones go for like 50 to 100, but the really quote-unquote active ones go in the upwards of four digits. And they were talking about like the best seller on there has a strict process that they go through when they get haunted items in, where they quarantine it away from all other quote-unquote haunted items, and they test it, they do, you know, video, they tape it, they do EVP, stuff like that, to make sure that they're actually haunted before they sell them. And I find that to be so fascinating, because my gut reaction to that is horseshit. You know, like, if there really were items that were so haunted and could be provable, then it would change the face of the paranormal community. It's like, you know, Ace's...
We've had this conversation on the previous show I was on.
What was the consensus? You're going to have to remind me. I'm a little drunk.
It wasn't really a consensus. It's just so whether or not we can sit here and have something that's absolutely 100% truth and we absolutely believe it. There's no way we can disprove it. Someone's going to call us a liar. You know, there's always going to be someone who doesn't want to believe it. So they're going to.
Yeah, but I think if you get a scientist who buys a collection of those items and tests them, he won't find a single thing wrong with them. But I don't know. The problem is no one's ever done it. You would think it would be an easy thing to solve.
You'd think.
You'd think. Also passed away last week, Stanton Friedman,
mm-hmm.
who was another extremely important person to the cause. He was a ufologist. He was probably the most famous ufologist in history. He was the civilian investigator at Roswell. He was a nuclear scientist. I mean, the dude was brilliant. I interviewed him a couple years ago, which is one of my proudest moments. That was very, very cool. He was very humble, very nice. He was also very smart, you know. It's one of those things that, like, I tried to joke around with him, and he was having none of it. I don't know if that was just his dry personality or what, but he was a very smart guy and very, very important. He passed away at 84, I think. I think Lorraine Warren was in her 80s to 90s.
I think she was 92.
Yeah.
I think.
It's Lorraine Warren, I imagine, would pass away eventually because she was really old.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Stanton Friedman was old. He was in his 80s, but it's just not somebody that I expected to see die. Like when Mr. Cook died. I was blown away by that. How the hell does Mr. Cook die?
Channel 12 hasn't been the same since.
Tanner and I are the only ones who know who Mr. Cook is. I don't blame her. She's from Pennsylvania.
No, so they're not from this area.
Well, these two have been here for a while.
Yeah.
How long has Lindsay been here?
2005.
Yeah, like 14 years.
When did we move here?
Like 3.
Yeah, so that's not much
2 years.
Longer. Okay.
2 years on.
Sure.
And lastly, this is the one that really makes me sad. Grumpy Cat died.
Uh-huh.
I know this has nothing to do with the paranormal. And by the way, the cat's name was actually Allie. What was the cat's name?
Hold on.
It's a you eat it with fish.
It's tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce. That was the actual name of the cat, was tartar
Her
sauce.
Name well, that's was why tartar he was grumpy. Sauce.
And it was a girl.
That's why she was grumpy.
She was grumpy. Because she had dwarfism.
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, damn it. Whoa. She was taking the fun out of it, Allie. She was so grumpy because her name was tartar sauce. Actually, she had dwarfism. Oh. Thanks a lot. Yeah, tartar sauce was only, what, 7?
7.
And again, this has nothing to do with the paranormal. And it's just so sad.
I know.
Like, oh, I would give a billion people's lives to bring back Grumpy Cat. And I mean that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't care if I know them or not. It doesn't matter. Everyone at this table, I would sacrifice.
Do you know a billion people?
I know of.
He knows of, yeah.
So our thoughts and prayers go out to all of those people, although, you know, thoughts and prayers won't get you very far in life. But that's a different show. I haven't done the anti-religion show yet. Yet. It's coming. Hold on to your butts. I have a long story.
You want to make an announcement before we get to that story? Because we got two tonight, technically.
Let's go ahead and do the announcement, because once I start reading this story, people might fall asleep. It is a long story, but one that I feel is so important that it needs to be read in its entirety. So, Tanner, please tell us the big news.
Okay, so June 3rd, we are interviewing...
Well, that's just like 3 weeks away.
Yeah, we're interviewing History Channel and Travel Channel host Scott Walter. A lot of people may not know who this is, but he is a very big proponent to the theory of pre-Columbian visitors to America. He has his own show on Travel Channel now. It starts in June, so we'll be interviewing him to get a preview of his show. So that's pretty exciting.
I'm looking him up right now because I want to see what this guy looks like.
He is a forensic...
Is he a soccer player?
No. He's a forensic geologist. In 2001, during the 9/11 attacks, he was actually called to do the research for the rubble for the Pentagon to get the forensic report for it. Outside of that, one of his big... cases and area that he covers is on a thing called the Kensington Runestone from Kensington, Minnesota. And so I'm sure he'll talk a lot about that too.
As I'm looking it up, his bio says his first television appearance was as a Kensington Runestone expert on the documentary Holy Grail in America,
which is a great documentary and actually comes to Southern Illinois and talks about Caro and everything else.
So he's from America on Earth, Walter with an O, by the way. That's why I couldn't find him at first. Yeah. So yeah, that's very, very cool. We're going to snag that interview June 3rd, and that will be a special episode of I Want to Believe. And that is, when does his new show start?
It starts June 24th, I believe. I got to double check on that for sure.
Cool. So getting him right before the
right before it. This is like Travel Channel reaches out to me and says, "Hey, he can do your show. We're gonna talk about the new series coming out, and we're gonna promote it and everything." So this is actually really, really cool.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. We also had a woman, a publicist, reach out to us recently and asked us if we wanted to interview an author. Like, they came to us and were like, "We have this author, and they've got a new book coming out, and we're interested in putting him on your show if you'd like to talk to her." And then I read what the book was about, and it seems like it's probably a very good book, but I have no idea what I would say to her because I'm not going to read the book because I don't have that kind of time. So then I would just be lying.
Speaking of authors, we need to get back in touch with...
think about it.
Yeah, hang on. Oh, shoot.
Paul
Blake Smith.
There you go.
He's got a new book coming out.
I saw that. He just completed it.
So
yeah. Great interview.
He was really
fun. He was fantastic. Not quite on the level as Veronica Taylor.
No, no.
Certainly better than Animal.
Yeah.
Because we got to talk to her longer, which was nice. Now, what's your other announcement?
Coming up, I don't know if we're going to do anything live with it. I guess we possibly could.
No.
So eventually we're going to have stuff. We're going to be doing some paranormal investigations coming up. I know we have one on the 1st with a special guest who's coming with us.
We do?
Yes.
What is it? Wonder Woman.
No. I don't want to say it on over the air. In case, something happens. But as of right now, he will be here.
Demange?
Yes.
That's exactly
right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I got it now. You did a double letter, and I wondered what was that letter. But now I realize what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Where are we going?
As of right now, we're going to do both stores, I'm assuming.
Oh, we're going to investigate the store.
Yes, because we've had some things happening here and the Jackson store as well. Yeah. And then eventually
Jackson
we're going
to...
Jackson store has a huge history. Like, they went back, goes back to the 1800s. There apparently was a death there. It used to be a horse and buggy shop and then like an old auto shop. So yeah, it's got a big history. Now, this store in Cape has not much of a history, but it is on Broadway where scary things happen every single day. I don't know if there are any ghosts downstairs, but there's probably at least one meth head.
We have seen some weird things happen here.
We have. I mean, things have happened. We've heard knocks. We've had.
But I think the most craziest thing we've seen recently was the Jackson store.
Yeah, where the register opened up by itself and the lights flickered.
Yeah.
What? Which
it also didn't just open. It slammed.
Which also, I think other than a ghost, I'm worried it could have been an electrical shortage.
Yes, possibly. But no. Honestly, no. Cause
look, you got to go into these things with a cynical sense of humor, because You can't start thinking everything's real just because you want it to be. And that's, you know, why, that's the fallacy of a ghost hunter.
And that's what the investigation is for, is to go in there and see if you can find something.
Right.
So, and we, it's one of these things we've been teasing now for how long have we been on the air?
That we've been wanting to do investigations?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do it because, you know, there's a bunch of places here locally that I would love to investigate that I'm really starting to – I'm putting together a list of places I want to go. I want to go to Lorimer Cemetery.
So you've got
the actual Lorimer Cemetery, not the new Lorimer where we went a couple years ago. Even though we got some stuff. We got some stuff, but this regular Lorimer Cemetery apparently is like actually haunted, like with stories. Tapping ghosts. It's where the founder of the city is buried or something like that. So I think that would be very, very cool. The Glen House is on my list of places that I want to go. Allie told me about that before anybody else did. I would also like to go to Rose Theater at SEMO, because I've heard that's very, very haunted. Buckner's downtown is apparently haunted. There's a lot of places in Cape Girardeau alone that we should investigate. So I'm excited to start doing this because I mean, that's what this whole show was about originally. Was this was my journey into the unknown that very quickly turned into just whatever it is we do now.
Hey, we tried.
We did try. I mean, it's a good show.
Did you listen to the opening? The pre-show?
Look.
Like,
he made the Thursday joke. It happened. We're going to move on.
Yeah, that pre-show was rough.
I was confused.
Summer.
Oh, no.
All right, so this story is the only story we have tonight. But again, I think it's important enough that we need to talk about the whole thing. Because this goes back to something we found out in 2017. That blockbuster announcement that the government had been researching UFOs. And it was the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program that was headed up by Luis Elizondo. And they released all this information. We started to see all these videos coming out from Air Force, Navy, all these different military organizations that have video of what they could not explain. And it was heavy, heavy stuff. Well, apparently, I didn't know this. It just came out recently that it wasn't just UFOs they were studying. I don't know if you know this, Tanner.
I don't.
This is a very, very long story. I'm going to read the entire thing. Okay. So please bear with me. This is from Alejandro Roja at denofgeek.com wrote this article. And I didn't put everything in here because it was much longer than this. But these are the important parts. Okay. Bear with me. This might take a second. At the end of 2017, the New York Times broke the story of a secretive Pentagon program with a budget of $22 million to investigate UFOs called the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or AATIP. A tip. The man who exposed the existence of the program, Luis Elizondo, was the former head of the project. Elizondo's ongoing efforts to investigate the UFO mystery with his new employer, the To the Stars Academy, will be featured in a History Channel series premiering May 31st, coming up, called Unidentified Inside America's UFO Investigations. Now, Allie, really quick, who leads the To the Stars Academy?
I'm not good at reading lips, Tanner. I'm sorry.
Just say
he tried.
I wish you would get it. You never get all the small things, you know?
Oh, is it Tom DeLonge?
It's Tom DeLonge. Very good. The best singer.
However, Mark Hoppus.
What the New York Times apparently did not know when they published their story is that the program went by a different name at its inception, and the scope of the program was much broader than just UFOs. In fact, according to a senior manager on the project, the investigations including, quote, bizarre creatures, poltergeist activity, invisible entities, orbs of light, animal and human injuries, and much more. So this is a real-life X-Files, is what they were doing. Although Elizondo did work with this paranormal project, he only worked in the UFO division. By the time he was the head of the entire program, the UFO division was all that was left. The rest of the program had been shut down, and you will never guess why. It wasn't because some people inside the Department of Defense thought the program was too weird. It was shut down because of demonic forces.
What?
Hear me out. This gets weird. The New York Times story that broke the Pentagon UFO program began when an official with the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, approached Las Vegas billionaire Robert Bigelow to visit Mr. Bigelow's ranch in Utah, where he conducted research. Tanner, you know where I'm going with this?
Oh, no.
The ranch the DIA official wanted to visit is nicknamed, Tanner, tell me.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, son of a...
After hearing rumors about paranormal phenomena occurring in the Uintah, I'm going to mispronounce that, basin in Utah, son of a bitch,
I pronounce
it like the woman off of Minute or Wild Wild West.
Utah.
primarily focused on Skidwalker Ranch.
Oh, God.
Bigelow bought the ranch in 1996. It was the perfect place to conduct NIDS investigations. The ranchers who owned the property stayed for a while but left because they did not feel comfortable there. If their stories are to be believed, they had good reason to go. The family, using the pseudonym Gorman, said they had several terrifying experiences. Among them was the sighting of a giant wolf-like creature that attacked cattle, could withstand multiple point-blank gunshots, and seemed to disappear into thin air. The incident that caused them to leave for good, however, was when their beloved dogs chased glowing orbs of light into the forest at night, never to be seen again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They made a movie based on
it. Skinwalker Ranch is a terrifying place. It's one of those places... Like, I'm not normally someone to say don't go somewhere up by, you know, don't go somewhere unless you have somebody with you, because usually that stuff is just kind of bunk.
Yeah.
Zombie Row is one of those places I say don't go alone. Skinwalker Ranch is a place you just don't go, period. No, it's, whether it's actual paranormal or something's really out there, there's something dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, no one can really tell what is at Skinwalker Ranch. Some people think it's extraterrestrial in origin. Some people think it's supernatural. Some people believe it to be Native American mythology. Like, there's so many different ideas of what's going on.
If there's something actually going on, it's all the above. A skinwalker is, I know, I'm going to let you back to your story.
No. Just saying, well, what could it be? It's all of them.
It's all, if there is actually something there happening that's not of, like, normal, if it's not just a wolf going out there and doing all this stuff, or a coyote or something.
A giant wolf that takes multiple shots at point blank range.
You know, if these stories are to be believed and if they are real, then it's literally all the above.
Yeah.
Because
a skinwalker is a Native American
creature. Okay. Yeah. And it is literally, it's a shapeshifter. It can change its forms.
It's Shang Tsung.
Basically.
It's from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Changeling?
Yeah, that's
just
too.
Say changeling.
That too.
Changeling, yeah.
More people are going to know Shang Tsung.
I mean, these
things. Or Ditto. It's a Ditto.
This is the most terrifying Ditto ever.
Have you watched Detective Pikachu?
Oh, my God.
No, I haven't. But
that's tough.
Imagine you're at Skinwalker Ranch and you see the giant wolf. No. Ditto eyes. No, Tanner, come back. Tanner, come back. Anyway,
please continue.
John Alexander, a retired colonel in the U.S. Army Intelligence, who also spent time working at Los Alamos Laboratories and still does some work as a defense consultant, helped organize investigations at Skinwalker Ranch. In a YouTube interview for OpenMinds.tv in 2013, he describes what they encountered at the ranch as a, quote, precognitive sentient phenomena. This is a lieutenant colonel, I'm sorry, just a retired colonel in the U.S. Army Intelligence Unit. What we learned was that the events was real and tangible and definitely occurring, Alexander explained. These weren't figments of someone's imagination or folklore or any of these sorts of things. When the DIA official approached Bigelow in 2007 to visit the ranch, no one thought there would be anything to worry about. However, precognitive sentient forces on the ranch had other plans. Sooner after arriving at the ranch, the DIA official had a paranormal encounter that reporter George Knapp, from Coast to Coast AM, described as remarkable, and it made a very big impression on this guy. The New York Times says shortly after his visit, DIA officials met with Senator Harry Reid because they wanted to start a research program. It turns out Reid, a friend of Bigelow's, was kept in the loop regarding Bigelow's work, research the paranormal, because he shared Bigelow's interest in the topic. We talked about Harry Reid when we talked about the subject the first time. Mm-hmm. Reid then found bipartisan support from a couple of fellow members of Congress, secured the funding, and got the project launched, all within 2007.
Oh, wow.
Soon after, a requisition for a contractor to conduct research for the program was posted, and Bigelow's Aerospace won it. Bigelow created Bigelow Aerospace Advanced Space Studies, or BASS, to manage the contract. Sorry, I apologize for that. However, the project was not called the the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, as the New York Times reported. It was called the Advanced Aerospace Weapons System, or AWASP. I'm sorry, AWASP. Hey.
What's up?
And it was set up to investigate not just UFOs, but primarily all of the weird stuff going on at the Skinwalker Ranch. Due to the nature of the project, it was kept as quiet as possible. Few in Congress knew it existed. However, it didn't take long for religious factions within the government to raise concerns. Knapp says they were basically high-level people in different intelligence agencies who were fundamentalist Christians who think that anything involving UFOs and the paranormal is satanic. Certain senior government officials thought our collection of facts on unidentified aerial phenomena was dangerous to their philosophical beliefs, Elizondo wrote in a post on Medium. They decided that our data was a threat to their belief system.
Separation of church and state.
not when it comes to aliens. Elizondo explained to the Den of Geek that by 2008, the negative attention their paranormal investigations received caused them to create a subgroup inside of it that focused only on military UFO cases. This was the advanced era, whatever. When Elizondo joined AAWSAP, the paranormal program, it was to work with the UFO division. Eventually, the DIA closed the whole thing and only the UFO division remained. Elizondo took over leadership in 2010. And then, of course, we know it was mostly closed a couple years later. Big report. Everything came out. All the stuff started to go. Now, what this makes me wonder is all of those videos they had of like the UFOs, like the military stuff, are there videos of other things that they haven't released because there is a conspiracy in the United States government that the Christian belief, the religious fanatics are keeping these things from the public because it goes against what is probably, I mean, the most important thing in a lot of people's lives is their religious belief. So if there is something that could, you know, cause doubt or strain that belief, are they keeping it from us? Because holy shit, that would be huge.
Yeah.
And a hush falls over the table.
So I followed the Skinwalker Ranch story for a long, long time.
It was one of the first things I ever heard about when I started researching the paranormal. Yes. Was Skinwalker Ranch.
Like
Skinwalker Ranch, Area 51, Roswell, New Mexico, where Calvin's grounds. Been.
I have.
He has been to Roswell.
I want to go to the Proving Grounds.
Where's the Proving Grounds?
What's there?
Is that because it actually falls under an area name? I think it's Area 50.
It's something.
52 or 53.
That's lazy writing.
Well, it's called the something. Area 50, like the Dunbar Proving Grounds or something.
Yeah. Each little space out there is an area.
Right.
And just the reason why Area 51 is called Area 51 is because it falls on Plot 51.
Right.
It's not. That's not the actual name for it.
It's no, like, it's actually Groom Lake, isn't
Groom,
it?
Yeah, Groom Lake. Yeah. Grim. Groom.
Groom.
Groom Lake.
Yeah. I think it has another name too, but I always heard it as Groom Lake.
But the Proving Grounds.
The Dungway Proving Grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I've been following this story for a long time. George Knapp, I listen. Like I have everything George Knapp has ever talked about with this place downloaded on my phone.
Just yeah, so I'm a big fan of George Knapp. He was my favorite host on Coast to Coast AM on the weekends usually. Yeah.
And he is, when it comes to people in the media, he's the leading foremost expert on that place. Mm. Like outside of people.
He wrote a book on it.
Yeah. I think he's wrote several. Yeah. Outside of people who've worked on the farm with the family and the military who's worked there, he's the only civilian that's allowed out there. Like he can go, come and go as he pleases.
Yeah, there were parts of the story that I left out where they talked about personal experiences Knapp had with entities.
And see, up until
faceless creatures that he saw personally.
Up until like 2006, he had had nothing. Like there, he had had no personal experiences out there whatsoever. And so this, like this story you're telling. Are you read? It's filling in so many holes that no one knows about. Mm. Because literally after like 2007, there is nothing on Skinwalker Ranch.
That's what it said in there. That's why they started letting them do research on it.
Except recaps of things that had happened before.
Yeah.
If you go in there and you find a video of George Knapp talking about Skinwalker Ranch in 2013, he's just recapping.
Yeah.
So if any of this information ever gets out, it's going to be groundbreaking. It's going to be exciting for the simple fact that we're going to get to hear it.
But I don't think it's going to come out. That's the thing. I truly believe. And it's something that I've thought about for a while. You know, we've talked about on the show before about what it would take to live forever. You know, medical advancements, breakthroughs, virtual worlds, stuff like that. Like all of the things that you could use to theoretically live forever. And I thought to myself, there's no way that that will ever happen, at least in the climate that we exist in today, because the religious right, and it's mostly the religious right. I mean, the religious left too. It is. It's both. But it's mostly the religious right would never allow something like that to happen because it goes against their belief system. And something like this, I think, is the same thing. If you have video of these creatures, if you have evidence of these creatures, they're probably keeping it a secret because it could change the way that we fundamentally look at existence. And that's something they're just not going to allow, you know? Because then what are they going to do with all those Bibles?
See, me personally,
yard sale?
I don't think anything in the paranormal field is going to disprove religion, personally. Like, just like the. If it comes out one day that this like ghosts that you see, like if you see a ghost in the room and they're real, like it's announced, you know, ghosts are real. They live amongst us or they roam amongst us. That's not
I hear a couple of them back there. Right.
Yeah. Now. It's not going to affect religion in any way, shape or form. If anything, I feel like it would strengthen it because religion teaches life after death.
I think it would strengthen spirituality.
which is not the same as Christianity.
I didn't say Christianity.
Well, yeah, but these were Christians, and even though America is not a Christian country,
it basically is
a Christian country. So the Christian, I mean, look at, not to get political, but look at what we're talking about recently with abortion changes. Mm-hmm. That is from the religious right. That is old white guys who decided that they know better. So why wouldn't they also keep things from us? You think that these Alabama senators want you to know about a shape-shifting faceless creature out in Utah?
Is it illegal to have a ghost in Alabama?
To own a ghost? I guess it depends. I guess it depends on the color of the ghost.
Oh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
That got a little bit different than I thought you would take.
Oh, my bad.
I knew where you were going with it.
Calvin, what do you think? Am I wrong about this? You are someone that knows religion very well. You know the mindset of the religious very well. Am I wrong on this?
I think that in America, you're very right. I think in other countries, it's a little bit different. Like in Rome, Catholics have like observatories. They're very more so for like just scientific stuff, but they're very more open-minded to what can the Bible be compatible with, as opposed to the Bible is the be-all, end-all, and everything else is lies, even if you prove it in front of me.
Right.
It's not in the Bible, so it's a lie, which happens in America.
So we got to wait for some other country
to get the information.
It's more likely to happen from another country, I would think.
Well, there have been so many, and Tanner, you can testify to this, there have been so many reports throughout the years since the 50s about not illegal, but secret government testing, alien battles at hidden
bases.
That's the proving grounds. Yeah. There's all these stuff that people just bat an eyelash and just go like, that's so ridiculous, it's not possible. But what if there's evidence out there that this is, and they're keeping it from us so we don't know? Like, the government exists to keep secrets from its people.
To keep us dumb.
You saying that reminded me. I've been listening to the Joe Rogan Experience lately. Especially like on his conspiracy theory shows and stuff.
He gets weird.
He does. Weirder he gets very weird. But some of his stuff is really good. He did a show with Jesse Ventura I think you would enjoy.
I love Jesse Ventura. I don't care. I love Jesse Ventura. I'd vote for him as president. I moved down to Minnesota once and voted for him.
Jesus.
It was years after he had left office, though. It was awkward.
So anyway, there was a lady
on
there.
Plus I put the body down instead of his name.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if when he ran, the ballot actually said Jesse the body Ventura.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so this lady was on this episode I was listening to, and YouTube was on autoplay, and it clicked over. And she got talking about Area 51 and just U.S. cover-ups and stuff. And apparently now – this woman apparently has worked with the military and worked with the government. And she's trying to put out the story now that the aliens that were found at Roswell and – aliens that were found during the proving grounds that they weren't aliens, but they were
interdimensional beings.
They were human bodies surgically modified to look like aliens to trick people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a new one. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, not genetically. So
they literally changed people around to make them look like aliens. It's
surgery.
They said the Phoenix Lights was just an illusion broadcast from Area 51. To trick people into thinking, to get people's attention away. And that's a good tactic.
The only problem is the event it's called the Phoenix Lights because that's what was most televised. It was most picked up.
It took place over Phoenix, the big one.
But that took place in several places over the country.
It did. Well, just a couple years ago, remember our very own friend Mimi saw those lights going over the country, which there's still been no explanation for. And people just kind of swept it under the rug because Trump said something. That's the problem when you have paranormal cases like this, is that it's so easy for people to just go, it's probably nothing.
Move on to the next big story.
Even though more and more evidence is coming out that there is something out there. Like, if you think that what you see is what there is, you are wrong. So wrong.
Do you think it's that, or do you think it's more, this isn't affecting me at the moment, but...
Because it's very much the mentality our world has.
That are affecting me at this moment.
I would have thought that if not for the fact that some of the videos that have come out have been these UFOs. And I say UFOs in what we've said before. They're unidentified flying objects. That doesn't necessarily mean they're alien in origin. They're unidentified flying objects. Now, whether that is alien or that is another country testing out secret planes, whatever. These things are flying over our cities. They're flying over our military bases. And if people aren't scared of that, then something is wrong with them. Because mm-hmm. we're not saying that aliens are about to invade. We're saying that some foreign entity is, you know, infiltrating.
Flying someplace it's not supposed to be flying.
Yeah.
I mean, it could even be our government. But
it could be our government testing out planes. The only reason I don't think it is because you hear these military people going, you know, surprised, like, what the hell is that? But then again, the military could be keeping things from them.
Yeah. Did you watch the Project Blue Book series from History Channel?
Not yet. I want to.
Is it good? It is really, really good.
Is it a documentary or is it a show?
It is a show, but it's literally, if you take the book or just the story of Project Blue Book,
yeah,
it is literally word for word what happened.
Project Blue Book, one of the most famous case studies about unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, it's extensive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to think of some of the stuff that they talked about.
Did they talk about Betty and Barney Hill in that?
I don't remember. I can't remember that one. It's been a while since I watched it. I watched it live as it was coming out.
You don't
out.
Remember Betty and Barney Hill?
No.
The interracial couple that was one of the most famous abduction cases where they were trailed by a light.
In the car?
Yeah. And they finally get away from it. And then when they get away from it, hours have passed with no recollection of what
happened. So this show mainly followed military accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was going around with the Army general at the time interviewing these different people from the military who have been in the military since World War II at the time and had stories of this stuff happening. But it also went into like the MK Ultra stories.
Right.
And how some of these guys may have been actually a little crazy, but some of them actually had legit cases. So it's very enjoyable. If anybody hasn't watched it, I highly suggest checking it out. At least read the story.
Right. I also want to mention that Skinwalker Ranch is in Ballard, Utah.
Bro.
I'm currently seeing how long it would take to drive there.
Bro.
Is that an excited bro or is that
No, that's not a very concerned.
That's let's get the Ouija board out instead.
That's a lot if you're saying that.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
I'm pretty sure that Skinwalker Ranch is not accessible to the public.
Not anymore.
I may be wrong about that, but I don't think you can actually go to it.
Well, here's the thing. It's property adjacent is also dangerous because...
So what is it about Skinwalker Ranch that makes it so highly active? Is it a portal?
Maybe. It could be some... I'm kind of curious ley line it's on.
Oh, I don't know. Are you looking at me?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, check it out because it could be cool. Like there could be a special energy about that place. Maybe there's a mineral that's in the ground there that hosts that energy, makes it even stronger.
I'm looking it up real quick.
I think quartz and there's certain stones because there's a lot of it in this area.
Quartz is super common.
Yeah, and there was something. There's another stone too that's super conductive of energy. "Quote unquote," it works the same. Like it's the same ideas in flowing water, like the river conducts the energy. That's why a lot of places along the rivers have a lot of activity that happens.
Well, they say there's a particular mineral too that records the spirit. That a lot of the times you see ghosts, especially non-intelligent
and
ghosts.
And I want to say it's a common mineral.
Is it nickel?
No.
I thought it was, wasn't it lime?
It could be limestone. I think it's limestone.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the ley line thing, and it says, I can't see a specific one, but this Truth Seeker Highway makes it sound like it definitely is on something unusual. There's some kind of magnetic it.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of the people that believes a lot in the ley lines thing. Like, I don't not believe in it. I've never researched it enough to really have an opinion. I do have an opinion on Skinwalker Ranch, though, and that opinion is that I would like to go there. More importantly is my opinion that the United States government needs to stay out of, like, you know, the way and let us get all of the information that they've got. Because I truly, it's like a kid in a candy store. I feel like Fox Mulder, you know, when he must have first got involved with the X-Files, and like, here's all this stuff that he'd always believed or wanted to believe, and now he gets to investigate it. I want to know everything about it. I watch every show about aliens. I watch every show about ghosts, even the bad ones. 90% of the Travel Channel, terrible, awful shows. Haunted no one should things. Watch. Haunted things. Don't go in the woods. Hey, what was that noise? I don't know.
What's
that's
the,
my favorite
what's
show
the new show with Jack Osbourne?
Oh, Portals to Hell or something like that. Yeah.
Well, they did go to Bobby Mackey's.
They went to Bobby Mackey's Music World.
So that's interesting.
I would love to go to Bobby Mackey's.
I want
to
go to Bobby Mackey's.
We should compile a list of places that we need to go.
And Bobby Mackey's is attainable. Like we'll call it like an hour and a half away.
The I Want to Believe road trip.
I'm all for it.
This summer. Lent coming Mansion, this summer.
Bobby Mackey's.
Lent Mansion. I've been to Lent Mansion.
Yeah.
And it was,
they have really good food.
It was a...
I mean, it's true.
They did have really good food. She's not lying. The energy you felt in that place was tasty. Or maybe it was just that food. But so, Bobby Mackey's would definitely be on that list. Waverly Hills Sanitarium.
Yeah.
Eastern State Penitentiary. Queen Mary. There's so many places I would love to go. You know?
Queen Mary's come by here, hasn't it? Or no, not
no, I think it's permanently docked. Yeah, I think this is permanently
docked. No, but there was a haunted fairy thing.
Remember the picture? I think it was the Chris Columbus ships that came through. I think it was like the same.
Oh, maybe.
The replicas?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went and saw those.
Did you see the picture they took?
No.
There's a picture, like they got the loading dock from the ship onto the bank, and in the rock, like the big boulders on the edge of the river, someone was taking pictures for the newspaper. One of the pictures you see, I'm talking a full silhouette of a person standing right on the edge of the water on the rocks. And there was nobody there. That picture circulated for a while. I had to find it again. I know I sent it to you.
Probably, but you sent, like, people send me so much stuff that I honestly get lost.
Wasn't it like it was a series of pictures where you can see the silhouette there and then it's not?
Yeah, it's like not there.
It's like the Kodiak or Kodak. The alien, what's it called? The one that they have the challenge about.
Of the spaceman?
Yeah.
In the picture? Yeah. Well, that we only got a couple minutes left, and we pulled this one out of the fire. Somehow, we managed to do an entertaining show that was informative, because I stress, no, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. I was going to say, write your politicians, write your congressmen, tell them, we want to know the truth, but we can't even tell them not to tell women what to do with their bodies. So if they won't even listen about that, they're not going to listen about skinwalkers, you know? Although skinwalkers probably have more rights than you do.
Probably.
Just to be fair. Let me see this.
Tanner's skinwalkers can change to male, so. Oh,
bullshit.
That was
bullshit. This is a picture from it?
Yeah.
Let me see.
Okay. There's a little thing that I like to leave. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah. Do you see it?
Yeah.
I'm going to pass this along to everybody. So this is very clearly a ghost. Like, and not even one of those, I wonder if that's a ghost. It's just
a clear silhouette.
Dude standing there. There's a full body apparition, which is the holy grail of ghosts.
Yes.
Lindsay is now looking at the picture.
But say it's real. Say that's real right now. You're completely debunking
it. It's definitely period clothing.
But you're,
so they would have had to have taken a separate picture and superimposed. Yeah.
So, like, say that is real, though.
Uh-huh.
100% real. You're sitting here saying it's not. That is the problem.
Yeah, but I haven't been able to test it. I haven't been able to check it. You know what I mean?
But what I'm saying is,
I mean, we can check it.
We can check it.
Like on your laptop after this, if you want me to.
How?
Metadata and seeing what pixels have been messed with.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the problem with this was another story I was going to put on the show, and we don't have time to talk about it, but the technology's gotten so good now that it's so much easier to fake things. Like, there was a great show that I watched in the early 90s on Fox. They used to do a ton of paranormal shows, most of them hosted by Jonathan Frakes, which is why I loved him, because he played, Riker in Star Trek, The Next Generation. But the point is, he did one where he was talking about, you know, is this real or is it just trick photography and stuff like that? And it was the most obvious CG effects, like 1990s low budget CG of these things. It was clearly fake, but the technology's gotten so good now where it's hard to tell what is real and what is fake. And there's no better example of that than the deep fake videos that Cody had posted in the chat, or Jesse, one of them. I think it may have been Jesse, actually.
Procedural code now.
Deep fake?
Yeah.
It's scary, though, because you can literally...
That's a slippery slope and it's dangerous.
It is, because you take a political base. I said this on there. You take a political base that doesn't fact check. A political base that just listens to what they're told and agrees with it. Pizzagate, Hillary's emails, the Butcher of Benghazi, all these things. Then you show them a video of the next Democratic candidate talking about how he supports terrorism or something like that, and they won't know the difference. And that's what's scary about deepfake. It's not just so you can jack off to your favorite celebrity's fake porn video. It's a legitimate threat to our country, and I think they need to shut that shit down now. Now, that picture isn't necessarily that. That could be real, but again, it's so good. It's so good that my heart tells me it can't be true. And if you'd like to see more videos and pictures of stuff that you're going to go, well, that's so cool, I don't know if that can be true, I have a list of a couple people I've been watching on YouTube lately that I want to give shots out to in case you want to check their videos out. Because we used to post some of these guys on the I Want to Believe Facebook page, which we have not really been good at updating, mostly because we're just all so busy. Mm-hmm. I wish we had a dedicated social media person, but we do not.
Because we don't have a budget.
We do not.
My job now is little open, so I might be able to start doing it more often.
I mean, my job is to sit here usually, but I also work on so many other things while I'm here.
And you got to babysit too.
I do, constantly. My new favorite channel for checking out the paranormal, I don't know if you've watched it, and I want to really plug it because I like it a lot, Nuke's Top 5.
That's the one you've been watching on YouTube a lot.
Has put out some of the best ghost content. I've never seen these videos before. These aren't the same videos over and over again. This is new content, and I'm like, some of it's really good. Some stuff that I did not know about.
And he also seems to do research.
Yeah, he's
which a lot of others are just like, here's this video.
Here's a video I found on darkweb.com.
He will like go into, okay, so there's this video, and then we also saw this video, and the person claimed this. And
along with the YouTube plugs, I've got another one. Bright Insight on YouTube. He doesn't do so much of the paranormal, like of the ghosts and the alien aspect of it, but he goes into like government cover-ups.
Mm, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and he's like, he does his research. This dude has come up with enough research that I think he's found Atlantis. That's how you're laughing, but I'm not.
I remember.
No, you're talking about it in the desert.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I remember someone saying that they found Atlantis a couple years ago. I'm wondering if it's the same guy.
No. Okay. So it's also the same research. Like he picked up on that research and went and did more himself.
Okay.
And this guy goes deep. Like he takes up to 2 months to make a video because he's doing so much. He wants to be so thorough on his research to make sure that it's factual before he does it. So literally you get like 2 months without a video. But when he comes out with a video, it's an hour long. Everything's fact checked. Everything is just in order.
He won't watch an hour long video.
I don't normally, but like with Bright Insight, unless you like really want to look at the pictures, he's somebody you can actually put like earbuds in and just listen to while you're working and doing stuff around the house.
I did watch Demon House, the Zach Bagans documentary about the house he bought.
Oh no, did he really?
He did buy it and then he sold it. That's an interesting documentary. No, I don't think so.
He didn't come at him, bro.
Most of the documentary is just about his trials and tribulations just trying to get the damn thing. And like when he buys it and there are people squatting inside who he has to like talk into leaving.
That's the scary part.
It was pretty scary. Anyway, also on YouTube, really big fan, Sir Spooks, which I know you're going like, well, that's a weird name. But good videos, good content. Our old buddy Chills is still someone that you should follow.
Damn it. Okay, I've started watching him. Like I have to get past the voice, but some of his content's really good.
My brain always hurts. I can't.
If you're wondering,
what's terrifying
if
is
you
I went to
know
his Instagram.
What I look like,
and he actually talks like that.
He does.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he has music quite videos now too.
Yeah, he's a rapper.
Yeah, and a singer.
And a singer.
And his
stop.
Song.
What?
My brain.
Also, Dark Five, very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Dark Matter, another really good one. And I think there was one I forgot. I wrote it down.
I want to know what happened to Danger Dolan. It used to be so good.
He sucks now.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's it. Sir Spooks. Because
they got multiple
five,
people involved,
Chills,
and they started doing the little animated
and
avatars. And
but there's really good stuff and stuff that I'd never seen before. Like one thing that I say I don't do well is screaming ghosts. And I saw a story. I think we actually saw it on that show.
We saw it.
It was on the Travel Channel show first. What was that show called? Paranormal Caught on Tape?
Yeah.
Which is a great show for babies.
We also saw it on Nuke's.
So it's a Dalton show.
Yeah, Dalton might be able to handle Paranormal Caught on Tape because they do show the clip, but then they have experts, quote unquote, who talk about it. And they're like, it's just general like, well, yeah, when I saw that video, it was scary. There's something coming out of that closet. Great insight. Yeah,
okay.
But so this guy buys this house or he's renting the apartment or something, renting a house, something like that. And he keeps hearing noises in his basement. So he goes down and checks, and the noises would stop when he would go down there. So eventually he starts hearing screaming coming from his basement. And he calls the police.
They found wet footprints.
They found wet footprints downstairs. And there's video where he'll go downstairs and you just hear screaming, like a woman screaming. And as he gets down there, the screaming stops. He looks around, there's nothing there. And this like would wake him up in the night. And again, one thing I don't handle is screaming ghosts. They scare me. I've always been afraid of waking up in the middle of the night because something is screaming in my apartment.
You know,
I don't like it.
You know why you have that fear, right? It's instilled into you from when you were a kid, from where we're from.
Oh, I thought it was because I'm Irish.
Probably that
and
too.
And Banshee. Banshees. Is the Banshee Irish?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Irish folklore. Yeah.
What would happen when I was a kid?
Are you about to
open up my mind?
No. There's actually a story about screaming women from our area from when we were kids that probably terrified you just as much as it terrified me. Wagner's Hill.
Oh, Wagner's Hill.
You can't,
all things scary about Wagner's Hill was the time the girl tried to go down on me at Wagner's Hill and wanted me to like just shove it right in her butt right there on the hood of her car. And I politely declined and asked to be taken home. She then had sex with Chad instead. All of this is a true story.
We have Chaps.
Chaps Green.
So
congratulations on getting married, buddy. I hope you have a good life.
I forgot about that.
That's so stupid because what you're saying, I've never heard about these screaming women, but
I mean, it's explained. I can explain it without, you know, it's not paranormal, but that's where that
Bobcats?
Was
cats.
Mountain lions.
Okay. Because I used to set out on Hudsonville Road where mm-hmm. I lived and I would hear screams in the night.
I almost hit one not even a month ago. Like I was on the highway by the National Cemetery. And it crossed the road going over to Hudsonville, like probably right across from where your trailer was.
Oh, man. Sitting out there. You're sitting out there and just hearing the screams all night.
And it like literally sounds like murder. A woman screaming bloody murder. It
was
terrifying.
Terrifying. And I never could figure out what it was. I also heard babies crying and screaming.
Cats.
And like, yeah, it's so much of the paranormal is easily explained by nature.
Mm-hmm.
But
especially when you're outside.
But occasionally.
Occasionally.
There is something that is unexplainable. And that's what we cover here on I Want to Believe on the Podzilla 1985 Network. We got to get out of here. Tanner, last thing.
On the videos, there's a video. I think I sent it to you a while back. A guy documented things happening in his house over 11 videos. And some of it is really great. And I think in the morning, I'm going to start sharing that on the I Want to Believe Facebook page.
Very cool. Also, I suggest on Nuke's Top 5, if you could find, he recaps the Dear David story.
In two videos.
Download. I think it's three now.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, it hasn't been updated in a while because the story is continuing. And we will continue to update you on Dear David. If you've never read the Dear David story,
go do it.
Go do it. Adam Ellis is a cartoonist whose apartment is haunted.
Great story.
It's amazing. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight here on I Want to Believe. I want to thank Calvin, Allie, Lindsay, and of course, Tanner for being here tonight to talk things with us. Very interesting show. Research about Skinwalker Ranch. Go watch some of those scary videos. You won't be disappointed. And
check
then stay tuned tomorrow.
Scott Walter's American Unearthed.
Yes.
Check it out.
He'll get plenty of plugs. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know, but I want people to be informed. Go check him out.
And check us out tomorrow on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. If you thought this show was scary, wait till we talk about the new 24/7 title and Brock Lesnar winning the Money in the Bank Money in the Bank briefcase. Woo! All right, that's tomorrow. Podzilla 1985. Thank you for listening, guys. Until then, make sure you watch the schemes. Scott, later.